Welcome to the Rock Church's newest podcast series, Coffee Conversations. In this series, members of the Rock staff will be sitting down together in one of our C3 coffee bars to discuss, in further detail, the sermon from that week. Today, you'll hear Josh Finkley, Clay Finkley, and Dylan Thompson discuss week 5 of Grace. Enjoy!
Well, what's up, everybody? My name is Clay, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I just want to welcome you to the 6 p.m. service this Sunday night. It is so awesome to have you guys joining us right now. We are excited to be here, and I'm joined by Dylan and Fink, and we are in the coffee bar right now filming this, and it's exciting. We got people coming back into this building, and it's created some really great energy.
Oh, it's so good.
It feels really good.
It feels great to have people.
Finally, I get to see people other than just you two. I
mean, you've seen all.
If I had to hang out with just me for 8 weeks, I'd go crazy too. So I totally get it.
It's the harsh realities of life. But hey, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you are new here, please text the word connect to 843-444-2144, as we would love to connect with you throughout this evening and throughout this next coming week. So please do that. And with that, we're just going to go ahead and dive on in. Fink, jump us into everything.
Well, I just couldn't help thinking when you were saying 843, I was trying to go like 8. Like, I was, because we were having that basketball talk about numbers.
Yeah, you know, and you're just going,
how do I do 8-4? Anyway, it is always good to be with you guys, and I appreciate you, whether you're watching this Sunday night, as it is being live streamed for the first time, or watching it on demand some other time. Excited that everybody's with us, and I do just echo. It's exciting times for our church right now. Yeah. Because we're able to start doing some gatherings again.
So it's pumping me up.
Student ministry met this week, so that was cool. We were able to have church on our Conway campus this week.
Praise God.
Yes. And then our coastal campus, it's coming. So
Soon. We will be back soon. So I can't give you a date yet, but I can tell you soon.
So I think that I would plan on the 31st. Can we just go ahead and say that?
Hey. Sure. You're the one making these calls. You said it. We're locking her in.
May 31st, Coastal Campus 2, back with a vengeance.
Okay, now.
Electric Boogaloo.
All right, that's funny, because I want to know who knows Electric Boogaloo. You know what I mean?
I know.
He laughed. He didn't know what you were referring to. Do you even know what you're talking about?
Not a clue. I just know there's something to Electric Boogaloo.
It's kind of a meme. Breaking 2, it's an old breakdancing movie. And the second, sequel was Electric Boogaloo.
Is it the one where they're like...
No, that is Kevin from Hitch.
Oh, yes.
That, you know, and if you remember, Will Smith just said, dude, just keep it in the center. You ever do that again, I'm going to smack you.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have a lot of striking similarities to the legendary Kevin James, and I just have
were going to say the legendary Will Smith for a second, and I was going to say, you absolutely do not. I'm just going to love you enough to tell you that.
Nothing with Will Smith. I would agree with Kevin James, though. You got Kevin James, when you're not wearing glasses, you put your glasses on, you got Drew Carey.
Oh, it's rough.
Okay, so
it's a rough look. It's
cut
rough
your
look.
Hair, and you're going to be one of those guys.
Yeah,
so we are way off topic. But I need to say this because we brought up the bringing back of our coastal campus. Go ahead and tell them about when we're going to be doing that, time-wise and stuff like that.
So for the summer and for the foreseeable future with the coastal campus, when we go back to meeting together, we are actually going to be meeting at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, which is really, really exciting. It's going to provide us a lot of opportunities to serve people throughout the summer and get people from all sorts of this gen walks of life into the building, into community, getting teamed up. And we're pumped about that. We're going to do that throughout the summer. And then once the fall hits, our plan right now is to launch that 6 p.m. back. So we'll have a 10 a.m. and a 6 p.m. service, which is really exciting, because having the multitude of services allows people to serve one and attend one and be involved in different ways, or if schedules don't align to meet one of those, they can go to the other one. So lots of great opportunities. We're excited for our front door, we have the vision from a college perspective. And our back door, we have all those high schools and elementary schools that we're able to serve in the best way possible right now. So it's going to be absolutely awesome. And I know our coastal team, we are way more than fired up about it. Like, we can't wait.
We're excited.
There's a ton of potential that's come with it, so I can't wait to get after it.
Mm-hmm. It'll be good. It'll be good. So, all right, well, this weekend we were hitting kind of week five of grace, and, you know, in my sermon I really talked about this idea of an invitation. And I want to start with invitation talk, and you haven't been prepped for this, so it's, yep. And it's got it's quick answer. It's off the top of the
so
head.
So scared.
That I'm going to ask you, who would you like to receive an invitation to eat dinner with or something? Yep. Okay, so I'm going to start with that one. All right, yep. And I know your first and best answer would be your wife and Jesus.
Of course.
That's, you can't say those two.
You know,
okay?
So, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Clearly, I was going to say that.
But let's do it. You get an invitation to eat dinner with anyone. Ready? Go.
Okay. Well, it's going to be dinner before WrestleMania 37 with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Stone Cold Steve Austin. We are going to have a great time.
The Rock and Stone Cold Austin. Perfect. Dylan.
Paul, I don't know.
Paul.
If I'm being honest, probably Dirk Nowitzki, but I feel like I need to sound a little more spiritual, so I'm going to say Paul.
Hey, watching Dirk in the 2011 finals was a spiritual experience.
That's the dinner I would want to go to, is the team dinner after they win the finals. That's the one.
Okay, all right. Well, my next question was going to be, so now I'm going to put you this. Who do you want to play horse with? An invitation to play horse with, basketball.
Someone I can beat.
Producer
Sorry.
Amanda, come
Not
on
Dirk
up.
Nowitzki, because I would lose. Although it would be really cool.
Wouldn't it be fun to play
really cool.
Like a game of one-on-one or two-on-two?
Dirk, Luka, and then I think another fun horse game would be President Obama. I think he'd be a fun horse match.
Okay.
He seems like a good hang. I would have to say I'm going to go with Reggie Miller because Indiana boy.
He's made fun of the whole time?
Yeah, he's going to try to shock me. I'm going to leave feeling terrible about myself. But we're going to have a good time.
It's not any different than
and
our dynamic,
I feel like I'm stronger than him. He's very skinny. And, you know, if I need to beef him up in the post somehow, I know it's horse, but if I need to assert my dominance somehow, maybe I can just body him up a little bit.
All right. How about this? An invitation to any sporting event. Which invitation, what sporting event would you want it to be?
I think the Super Bowl. And the reason I say the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl is weird because it's more of a corporate type event. But saying you've been to a Super Bowl is like something I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody that's been to a Super Bowl and watched a game live. So I think that'd be a pretty special experience. That's a very rare thing to go to.
Okay.
NBA Finals. I mean, that's not a hard one for me. Either that or I would love to go to the All-Star Game. The Saturday night, three-point.
NBA All-Star Game?
Yeah. Okay. Three-point dunk contest, all that stuff. That'd be a fun night.
My alternate answer would be the Rugby World Cup Finals because I just feel like they have a good time.
They do have a good time. So, all right. I think that's good. An invitation, and we're not trying to make political affiliations here, but an invitation by any president who's ever been president. So you go all the way back to George. I feel a little weird saying George, President Washington.
President George. I'm going old Teddy Roosevelt because that dude seemed like a great hang, like. You know, that was the original Rough Riders before DMX. Seemed like he boxed in his free time and seemed like a pretty cool dude. Had a good mustache, too.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to go President Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
Got one of the coolest stories ever. He was a drunk who sold fruit on the side of the street in New York. Ended up basically finessing his way into being the general of the entire United States Army and eventually the president. So...
honestly, you got to learn the ways of the finesse.
I want to talk with anybody who can go from being a homeless drunk to president, honestly.
Yeah. No, that's a great, great, great. So, cool. All right. Well, that was just fun. Hopefully, you enjoy that a little bit as well. The idea from the weekend was that I kept saying all weekend long that grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation. And it's all based off this story about a banquet, a wedding feast that was held, and there was invites that went out, and then there was people who came. So I'm going to stop there. Clay, just go ahead, in case somebody hasn't heard the story yet, go ahead and just tell us the story. It's found in a couple different gospel accounts, so just go ahead and just tell us.
So the one I'm going to specifically tell it from is Matthew 22, but it starts with Jesus telling a parable, and it's this parable about this king who his son is about to have this big wedding banquet, and he prepares everything. It's this elaborate, giant party. He sends out the invitation to all the who's who's of the town and all the key people, and he sends us this invitation expecting people that he was seemingly tight with would come and be a part of this invitation and this party. And after they got the invitation, everybody decided they either weren't going to come, they had other things to do, or they would just end up actually killing the messengers. Mm-hmm. And obviously this infuriated the king, made him do some crazy stuff, like really bring some punishment down on those people because he's the king and that's kind of what he does, right? And at that point, he then flips the invitation. He says, okay, I'm not going to invite the who's who. You're done. I'm done with you. I'm going to invite everybody else. I'm going to invite the poor. I'm going to invite the people on the street. I'm going to invite the homeless. I'm going to invite them to be a part of it. Yeah. And he invites them. They are able to have clothes provided for them for this wedding feast, and they are able to come and be a part of it, and everything's going great. And then the king walks through, and he sees a man that was on the street at the party not wearing the wedding clothes. And this is kind of a big deal because all this stuff was provided. It's just a way to honor the king and honor his son and be a part of this great wedding feast. Yet the man, while he came to the party, chose not to participate in that way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this makes the king very angry. It's like, hey, there's this golden opportunity for you right here, and you chose not to do it, not to be fully in. And he ends up binding the guy and throwing him out in the streets and then, you know, really, you know, punishing him as well. And he finishes the story by saying, for many are invited, but few are chosen.
Yeah.
So you have this invitation with people rejecting it, then you have this invitation with people accepting it, except one person doesn't fully accept it with all the parameters involved, leading to this definitive last statement, for many are invited, but few are chosen.
Okay. Right. Yeah, good. So in that story, you know, we see a lot of historical references, then we see some practical implications. I know, Dylan, we were talking beforehand just about the historical references. Why don't you talk about them for a second, just about, you know, who Matthew was writing to and what all that meant.
Yeah. So when I was looking at this, one of the interesting things that kind of helps you frame the context for this is where it occurs, what's going on when Jesus tells this parable. And in Matthew, this is right after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, marking what we would call Holy Week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means Jesus' death is right around the corner.
Yep.
So those context clues really let us know that, like, Jesus is almost foreshadowing his death, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's foreshadowing the kingdom of God being given to the people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people, and ultimately them rejecting it. But then the good thing is it goes out into the rest of the world. So he's giving in a parable, he's giving a real quick summary of what the entire narrative of Scripture is, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, all right, so let's dive into even from just the practical side of it. So we see servants who give out the invitation and they're rejected. People rejected their invitation. People rejected them, even to the point of killing them, which points us towards Christ a little bit. But I just want to ask a very simple thing of, why do you think people reject the invitation of God to grace?
That's a great question and a question that I think many people have thought of for a long time. And I think if you look at this story, the historical context that Dylan just brought up, you have Jesus, who is really the son in this story, and you have the Jewish people, Israel, who are the who's who, the people that should have connections with the king. And Jesus came down, and they were expecting something else. They were expecting something different than who Jesus actually was when it came to their Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They fully expected him to act a different way, step up and be this king, step up and be do all these different things. And he wasn't doing things that they wanted him to do. They were viewing him differently. And I think the reason that people, you know, kind of reject God and in this way don't really decide to follow him is because Jesus, we expect Jesus to show up in a certain way, and Jesus doesn't always show up in the way we expect him to.
Mm-hmm.
We expect these certain attributes, we expect all these different things about Jesus to come true into our lives, and if it's not perfectly aligned with what we believe that Jesus is going to do, then we say, you know what, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's wrong, because that makes this relationship with us and God about us and not about him, when really it's all centered on him. And that's the point, like, of the, I believe this portion of the story is like the who's who that were invited. They made the invitation about them. They didn't make it about the Son and the coming Messiah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great point. A great point. You were going to add something there.
Yeah. In the Luke parable, Luke gives some specific details of people that had business to take care of. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big portion of it, is sometimes we just think we're too busy. Mm-hmm. I think we think that we have more important things going on than to slow down and commune with God.
Yeah.
And then another thing we get from the Luke one is right after that parable, there's a teaching about people not counting the cost of following Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
when you look at the context of what follows that parable, that's a big reason that people don't accept that invitation too, is mm-hmm. they don't count the cost, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that he doesn't meet our expectations, and because of that, there's this, well, no thanks, you know what I mean? I'm going to go way off script for a little while here, but I love how when we see that situation in John the Baptist's question of Jesus. There's a story about John the Baptist when he's in prison, sends his disciples to Jesus and says, hey, are you really the Son? Are you really the Messiah? And Jesus follows it up by still just propping John the Baptist up, saying he's a great man. But he says, blessed are those who don't fall away on my account, on behalf of me. Like, basically he's saying, blessed are those who don't fall away because I don't show up the way they want me to show up. You know what I mean? And the Jews, they all, you know, he's not the king. He's not getting rid of the Romans. So now they're all upset, you know.
And that's even after John himself said, this is the guy.
Yeah, like absolutely.
But John had already said that about Jesus and still said, you know what, is this really? And I think that happens to us a lot too, where mm-hmm. we originally like say, yep, mm-hmm. this is the guy. And then things aren't exactly how we picture them to be. Mm-hmm. And then we start questioning again.
Yeah, yeah. And then you bring up this busyness. And, you know, in that Luke parable, it talked about, I want to go check my investment. I want to go work my field. I want to go spend time with my relationships. That I don't have time for this. Let's talk about that for a second. That just in your guys' world, all right, you're both young dudes. That you both work with a lot of this gen, whether that be college age, high school age, middle school, even kids. For those who are this gen, how do you help them understand this time management and making sure that the time for the Lord is there first before we worry about our investments and our jobs and our relationships?
I think the real problem with the people in the parable that have all these business things to take care of is they think they are worth more than an invitation to the feast, right? I've got to go plow my field, meaning I've got to go get my crops ready so that mm-hmm. I can make money. I've got to go check my investments. I've got to go make money. And then I've got to spend time with people, right? And that's not monetary, but that's sure. that's valuable. I think the big problem was that they assumed, and that's what we do as well, that the things that we have going on in our life are more valuable than an invitation to the feast with the mm-hmm. king. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest Good. Advice I could give is understand the immense value of that invitation, mm-hmm. that it's priceless and it was bought with a price that we can't pay, right? Mm-hmm. It's more valuable than anything else we have. The flip side of that is I would say that we need to reframe our mindset and realize that we can't do and we can't pour out if we're not poured into. Mm-hmm. That we can go and do and try to fill ourselves with things and people and money and opportunities. But if we are not going to the actual source of life, then we're going to be incredibly dry and empty, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And it pairs so well with the tail end of Luke 14, which you
right,
brought up,
right.
of if you understand the value of the invitation, if you understand the value of filling up, then you're willing to pay the cost. You're willing to count the cost. Anything else you'd add into that, Clay?
Yeah, I think it's just in addition to that, because you're recognizing how much this is actually worth, it's a prioritization over everything else. Like, I think there's a – I understand why certain people read the Bible at their – connect to God, do their connect time at the end of the day. I get it. Like some people that truly does work best for them. Mm-hmm. I would say for the high majority of people, though, it is best to do in the morning time because it's saying, I'm starting my day with this. I don't know about you watching, but I know for me, if I try to say I'm going to do something at the end of the day, it's not going to happen. I'm going to feel tired. I'm going to feel like I have too much to do. I feel like I worked too hard during that day. And what it's saying is, hey, God, you're on the back burner of what I need to do in life. Everything else is in front of that. And mm-hmm. and that's not only not just recognizing the value of what you're doing, but it's also recognizing what position you're putting God in. Mm-hmm. Like if you're saying, hey, God, I'm kind of putting you at the last on my list. I got these other things ahead of you. You're really sending a message to God right there. And that's not just in a connect time sense. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's a whole life. This is using the story that we're saying, hey, God, you're kind of lower on my list than everything else.
Yeah.
When he absolutely should be the highest. That's because of the value that is given.
Mm-hmm. So there's a value of this invitation. So we prioritize it. We receive this invitation of grace, which is for everyone. I mean, in the parable, we see the invitation first went out to the Jews. And we've seen that from the beginnings of Scripture, you know, that the Jews were to bring about the Messiah. So the invitation is towards them, yet they reject it. And then so God sends this invitation to all people. And I love in the Matthew parable, it says that the banquet hall was filled with the good and the bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's basically just saying, everybody's invited. Come on in. And I love that. Yet, we see in there that when the king shows up, there's this one guy who's not dressed right, okay? When you see that, what is your take on what the author, which would be Matthew, recording what Jesus said. So Jesus is the one telling the parable. So what did Jesus mean, and why did Matthew include that in the story, that there's a guy there that's not dressed properly, and therefore trouble comes to him? He ends up getting kicked out of the party. But, you know, why is that part of the parable? What is the significance there? Is it about clothes? Is it about, what's it about?
It's not actually about clothes. It's a broader concept. It's just because you come to the party doesn't mean you're ready for the party. Easy example of this is, you know, a football game. Obviously, you have all this equipment that you have to have ready to play. If you just show up, you know, wearing your khaki pants and your jersey that you wore to school that day, you're not ready to play that game. And in the same way, there's a lot of times in our life where we say, you know what, our spiritual life, we say, okay, I'm ready. I'm coming to the party, but we're not ready for the party. And I want to clarify this. This does not mean that you have to have this be ready step. There's not a certain point you have to get to follow Jesus. It's not saying that, because I think that could be very easily misheard, and it's not all. But when you decide to follow Jesus and join in this great banquet, this celebration of life, this this allegory, this parable to what is to come in our lives with Jesus and the celebration of us being united with him, there's certain stuff you have to do. And I talked about it at student ministry this Wednesday night and Thursday night. But, I said you have to know you're invited, first of all. Like, recognize that you have an invitation that God looks at you and says, I want you to be with me in this life. I want to celebrate with you. And then the second thing I said, you got to change your clothes. We have to change our clothes. Like, we have this old life that we're living, but when we say, you know what, I'm ready to come to this party, we're saying, hey, I'm choosing to follow Jesus, which means you got to put on these different clothes, the clothes that he provided. And for us, that's that new life. There's a lot of us that we spend this time where we say, you know what, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus, yet we keep wearing these same old clothes, and we keep living the same old life, and we keep doing the same things that we've done. We got to stop doing that. And the way we stop doing that is saying, hey, Jesus, I'm repenting of my sins. I'm choosing to follow you, and I'm ready to step into this relationship with you. Give me this new life found in you so I can glorify you. Mm-hmm, and that's what it's all about, right? Because I think there's a lot of us that say, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus, and then our lives stay completely the same. And that's exactly what happened in the story. This guy said, I'm coming to the party, but he stayed the exact same.
He stayed the exact same, yeah. Clay, you started preaching there just a little bit.
I've preached this twice, so that helps.
All right, so Dylan, how would you add on to that?
It's not about clothes, right? This is a parable by nature. Parables are not about what they literally, right? It's not a literal feast. It's not a literal invitation. It's not literal clothes. But this does show us the nature of what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus says constantly, if you don't die to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Die to the old self and be made new, be reborn, right? That's what he tells Nicodemus. If you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, right? Romans 12, don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed, right? Somewhere in Scripture, I don't know the reference off the top of my head, but it says that the old has passed, the new has come, right? This is the nature of encountering this invitation, right? This is the nature of being brought into the kingdom of God, is that we are not the same. You don't enter the kingdom of God the same way you were outside of it.
Yeah.
You are renewed. You are transformed. You're born again. And I don't think what Jesus is saying here is you need to get right if you're going to stay at the table. I think it's that if you're not changed at the table, you were never in here, right? I think it's more about, like, you can look at that verse in Romans, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This guy who's still wearing his street clothes is conformed. He still looks like the world. He has not changed. And you brought up a great point when we were talking about this before. They were all poor. They were all destitute. They didn't have the wedding clothes, right?
That's right.
Who
That's
provided
right.
the wedding clothes? The king did. If you don't accept the transformation, if you are not changed, you have not truly encountered what it means to be invited to the table. That is what this little section about clothing is about. It's not about outward changing of clothes. It's not about your outward dress. It's about inward heart and spirit transformation that comes not from us deciding we want to do it, but understanding what an invitation to the table means.
Yeah. Well, I want to get real practical on that, okay? Just off of what you both just said, because we have people who are watching or tuning in right now who are at different steps in their spiritual walk. So how does somebody, when they say, okay, I want to accept this invitation of grace, how does those changes happen? And just get real practical, real, like, you know, from a biblical standpoint, what are some things that we can do to help usher in that change? We know change comes from the Holy Spirit, but there are some things in Scripture that it talks about, you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, that is going to help put you in those things. So let's just get some real practical steps here.
Very simply, first, it's a recognition of who Jesus is, and then a repentance of sin. It's saying, Jesus, you are Savior of this world. You are the King of my life. You are the one that's in control of everything. Because of that, I am repenting of my sins that have separated me from you, right?
Okay.
And repenting, basically, it's a way of saying, like, hey, I apologize, right? That may be the easiest way for me to say that. And then once you repent and say, you know what, Jesus, I am wanting to have this life with you, then I think that the best step with that, that's tied right to that, is baptism, because baptism is a symbol of Jesus going from death to life on the cross and then his resurrection. In the same way, when we get baptized, it's a symbol of us dying to our old self and coming up alive once again as our new selves. And, and that's exactly what we're talking about. We're saying get rid of those old clothes and put on these new clothes. And it's getting rid of the old life and putting on that new life.
Okay. Other steps. That's great. That's great. That really helps somebody who maybe I don't have a faith walk at all. My first step is recognition of sin and saying, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Continue on.
I'm going to drop a couple big words really quick. We're really talking about two things, justification and sanctification. All right. Those are big words, but they're really easy to understand. Justification means I'm changed by someone else. I'm changed by God. Right. That's when I accept a seat at the table. The clothes are provided for me. Like, everything's there for me. I'm changed in that moment. Sanctification is walking it out. It's putting the clothes on and actually sitting down at the table and then continuing to eat, right? I think the practical is understanding that we are transformed when we repent. Like Clay said, we repent of our sins. We ask for forgiveness. Like, we give our lives to Jesus. We are justified, right? We're now a part of that wedding feast. From now, we're called to walk out our faith in fear and trembling. That's sanctification. That means that's a process. That's going
to
take
great way to
we
say
are
it.
Never going to achieve full sanctification, right? What we can do is model our lives by walking with Jesus to become more like him, mm. right? Allow him to prune us, if I can say that, and cut the things out of us that don't look like him, right? Yeah. Through spending time with him in constant prayer and meditation on the word and digging more into it, through being involved in biblical community, through being the hands and feet of Jesus. Those are all practical things that we can do to begin walking out sanctification. Because I believe that if we are spending time with Jesus, if we are spending time with him in relationship, we are going to look more like him.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. And I want you to catch what you just heard, because that's it in a nutshell, is that I accept the invitation, and the expectation is to respond to Christ through the recognition of sin, responding to him as my Lord and Savior. And then when you do that, you get justified, all right? And then I walk out this relationship with Jesus, and that's sanctification, all right? And that happens when we're walking with him daily and we become more like him. And right. So great words, great practical steps for all of us to hear. And man, I hope you get that. So that's the reason I said all weekend long that an invitation has an expectation. That grace is an invitation that we can receive, but it comes with an expectation. And the expectation is for us to receive it, okay? That invitation goes to all, only a few are chosen, because only a few people say, I see the value of recognizing sin, of responding to Christ, and of walking out my faith, you know. So, man, it's great stuff for us to hear this weekend. Dylan, I just want to turn it over to you, kind of let you wrap us up.
Yeah, man, this was fun. I had a really good time with this. I love this parable. It's a really good one. So thank you for tuning in wherever and whenever you're tuning in. Like Josh said earlier, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're pulling this up on YouTube later, listening to it in your car via podcast, whatever you're doing. Thanks for tuning in. We do this every week, and we're not going to stop doing this. It's going to be new content every single week in this kind of format. So I would encourage you just to jump back in with us next week, and let's do it all again. So that's it. That's all I got for you.
That sounds good. All right, guys. See y'all later.
See y'all next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about The Rock, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search Rock C3 for our app. We hope you have a great week.